in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. Welcome one and welcome all to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. Thank you for joining me. And thank you to Andy from England, who was, again, the subject of last week's show. Last week's show had a lot of response from my listeners that once people did actually look into it, it made sense to them. Everything that is going on starting to make sense. So thank you, Andy from England, for opening the eyes up to the Yankees across the pond. Now, it seems that every week I have a plethora of show ideas to bring you. Now, admittedly, most are political, but some are paranormal, and some are of an earthly current events nature. This week, I'm going to bring to you the continuing saga of our planet's magnetic field. There is a raging debate as to whether the magnetic fields are going to flip. If they do, what are the consequences of such an action? Now, I've talked about this before, but it is becoming more and more apparent that something is amiss around the planet. So stay with us to hear exactly what is happening to our planet and how it will affect us. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and we'll be right back. So if you're a fan of the Paranormal Patriot Facebook page, you may have seen the name Richard Knox pop up every now and then. The reason for that is Richard Knox is one of the, well, he is the only administrator that I have on that page. I have given him complete control to post anything he wants to on that page. Him and I share the same interests. We had the same ideas. I have complete faith in Richard Knox. Richard Knox is also a researcher for the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. So what I wanted to do is, as thanks to Richard, give his group a little shot in the arm, a little bit of notoriety by telling all of my listeners about the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. If you have had an encounter or something unexplainable happen in the Southern Michigan area and you want to talk about it, you need to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. You can contact them at, and this is all lowercase, sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Again, that's sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Let them know what your encounter entailed. Everything is confidential. Again, if you have had any type of encounter or unexplained happenings in the Southern Michigan region, you need to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. One more time, sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. And I just wanted again to say thank you to Richard for everything he does for the show. Without his help, I would be even more of a basket case than I already am. So again, if you've ever had any type of Bigfoot experience or any type of supernatural paranormal experience, anything you can explain, you owe it to yourself to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. Last time, that email is sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Alrighty, thank you to the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group, but more importantly, thank you to Richard Knox. I could honestly say Richard Knox is sponsoring this part of the show, and I wouldn't be lying to you. But let's ask a question. Let's ask ourselves a question. Is a reversal of the Earth's magnetic poles taking place? And a lot of people may be saying, I have no clue, I don't care. Well, you do need to care, because this affects every one of us. Now, I've talked about this many times on previous shows. We have had volcanoes and earthquakes and out-of-the-normal weather patterns, as well as strange, quote-unquote, trumpet sounds in the sky. Well, what this may indeed be pointing to is a shifting of the magnetic poles. Now, what I'm not talking about a shift on the axis of this planet. I'm talking about a shift of magnetic north and magnetic south. There is undeniable proof that north, as we know it, is indeed shifting. It is shifting to the tune of 600 to 700 miles in the last decade alone. It was once in Greenland, near Canada, and now it is quickly shifting towards Russia. The problem is its speed of shifting also seems to be increasing over the last maybe 30 years, roughly. Keep in mind that our sun, which provides life to this planet, swaps its north and south poles every 11 to 13 years. In fact, it has done so pretty recently. If the sun can affect our satellite transmissions and electrical distributions, imagine what our own magnetic field would do to the planet if it flipped or it weakened. The sun. We've all heard this. I've talked about it. The sun shoots out bursts. They call them solar storms. And there's always worry. And this has been hyped up by the media recently, that when a solar burst comes, it may affect the satellite transmissions. We may have problems with our cell phone. This is the same type of situation coming from our own magnetic field. So if our sun, which is granted much bigger, but if our sun can affect that, imagine what would happen if the poles went from north to south and vice versa. Not only would our compasses and the navigation systems be rendered useless, you would look at a compass and think you're going north because that's where magnetic north, that's how compasses are set up, is magnetic north. Well, what happens if magnetic north moves to magnetic south? You going north according to the compass, but you're actually going south. All of our airplanes, our GPS systems, look at the animals, the birds, the whales, the dolphins. They all have magnetite embedded in their brain. And this magnetite allows them to go where they migrate, where they need to migrate. Why do you think we have so many beached whales, so many beached dolphins, that these birds are not where they usually should be? It's because the magnetic field is changing. But not only would it render our compasses and navigation systems useless, but weather patterns across the globe would be drastically different than they were in the past. We look at weather patterns in the past and look at how they are today, and people will say, look, that's proof. Global warming is affecting the weather patterns across the United States. Severe storms are more prevalent. There's snow where it shouldn't be. The ice caps are melting. It's warmer than it should be in the middle of February in Michigan. You know my thoughts on global warming. I'm more susceptible to say, okay, I don't believe in your global warming hogwash, but I do believe that the magnetic poles are reversing and it's altering our weather. We've noticed a sharp increase in severe weather as well as a surge in volcanic and earthquake activity. All of this can be expected when the magnetic poles shift. What it does is it alters the course of the jet stream. The jet stream in the summer and in the winter, and I'm going to use myself in Michigan as an example because that's the only example I know. But we can be either above the jet stream and we get cold weather, or the jet stream can be moved up above us and we get warm weather. And that can go for anywhere you are in the world. But what happens if the magnetic field shifts? It shifts that jet stream with it. So that jet stream may be higher, may be lower, and if it's higher, which it looks to be the case now, we now get warmer weather farther north, and we get strange weather patterns. We get a hurricane-type storm bombarding California. California, over the last couple of years, was in the midst of a severe drought. Now they have more water than they know what to do with. Oregon has had more snow than they know what to do with, which is not the normal. We here in Michigan, last weekend was February 8th, 17th, and 18th. I was outside in shorts and a t-shirt with my kids playing. I've been on this planet 45 years. And I can tell you, I know I have not been out in shorts and a t-shirt in February comfortably. I may have gone from my car to the house or vice versa. But to hang out outside in shorts and a t-shirt in February was unheard of. But this is becoming the norm across the country and across the planet. What our usual weather situation would be is almost 180 degrees different. Has anybody seen a fluctuation in the temperatures? I know, Andy in Texas, you probably are in the area of 100 degrees, which is, again, unheard of. England has had weather that is just not what it should be for them. All across this country, all across the world, weather is different. And you can sit here and you can say, yep, global warming is the cause of it, but it's not. Global warming, the more you look into it, is proving to be a falsehood, is proven to be a lie. The only significantly true, the only substantially factual that you can back up with facts possibility for why everything is the way it is the magnetic poles are shifting. And trust me, the magnetic poles severely affect our weather. So for the hot places, the places that usually get the really bad tornadoes, the really bad storms, you may not get those now because those are moving to a different spot. But on top of that, the magnetic field is what protects our planet from the sun's deadly UV rays. Now, prior to a switch of north and south of the magnetic field will essentially go dormant. It will lose, they've got swarm satellites, the European swarm satellites, which monitor the magnetic field across the planet. You will see the magnetic field either severely diminish or completely disappear. What that will do is that will allow these rays, these UV rays from the sun, to bombard the planet unabated. If it continues to degrade, expect the rates of cancer across the planet to skyrocket. Now again, for at least the last 160 years, the field has been decreasing in strength. But recently, and I mean as in the last 30 to 35 years, the amount of deterioration has sped up alarmingly. The most significant collapse is centered in a huge expanse in the southern hemisphere. Now, this expanse extends from Zimbabwe, to Chile. The magnetic field strength in this area is so weak that it is dangerous for satellites to orbit above the region as the magnetic field no longer protects them from the radiation. And this is due to the magnetic field's lack of strength. It's basically non-existent from Zimbabwe to Chile. Now, back in the 80s, as I was growing up, I remember hearing about chlorofluorocarbons and how if you spray hairspray in your hair, and keep in mind, in the 80s, I had a beautiful, and I mean beautiful mullet. It had a curl at the end. It was a thing of beauty. So I made sure I kept it in line with hairspray. And every time I used hairspray, somebody would tell me, "You're killing the ozone layer." And it's because of chlorofluorocarbons, so they say. However, we've reduced and eliminated chlorofluorocarbons, and we still have an expanse of basically no ozone, no magnetic field, that is being bombarded by the sun's UV rays. Now, the Earth's magnetic field is created by the spinning of the Earth's iron core within our planet's liquid outer core. There is a patch of reversed polarity in southern Africa. Now, this area has a polarity that actually points to the south instead of the north. So in southern Africa, you have a compass in your hand. and you're walking, it's showing north, and all of a sudden in this spot, you get into this spot, all of a sudden the poles flip. North points south. Now, this is the main culprit of the Southern Hemisphere anomaly. This opposite polarity area is believed to be the essential ground zero for an imminent pole shift. Now, pole shifts are not a new occurrence to this planet. They have reverse frequency, but as it stands now, we are long overdue. The last pole shift that occurred, that is known to occur on this planet, was 780,000 years ago. Now, with that number in mind, does the degree of magnetic field strength in recent years point to the fact that the poles are indeed ready to flip? We have had a constant up to 160 years. The magnetic field has been stable. Over the last 160 years, we've noticed it slightly decreasing. Over the last 30 to 35 years, that decreasement, if that's even a word, the decreasing of the magnetic field has been dropping substantially. 780,000 years ago, our planet shifted poles. This happens on the sun every 11 to 13 years. On planets like Jupiter and Saturn, this also happens. So this is not just an earthly phenomenon. This happens all across the solar system, and I'm assuming all across the universe. I recently had a discussion with someone who I considered very knowledgeable on this subject, and this is why I chose to discuss it today. We were talking about the magnetic poles because we were talking about how warm it is across the country, and being that we were both from Michigan, how crazy it is that we are in Michigan in February and it is beautiful. It was almost 70 degrees where I reside. And we were sitting talking outside, just enjoying the sunlight. And he came up to me and he's, you know, we were discussing the whole weather phenomenon. What is causing this weather phenomenon? He said the magnetic poles. And again, that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I think this is going to affect everybody here. But while he does agree that the magnetic field has been losing strength over the past 160 years, he did mention how over the past 30 to 35 years, this decline has been much more rapid. He asked me what technology the government was using in the 80s that could affect the magnetic field. And I'm sure I was looking at him like a deer in the headlights with a bewildered, blank stare. I'm sure my mouth was hanging open. I might have had drool coming out of my mouth. I have no idea. But to make a long story short, he asked me, what type of technology did our government have in the 1980s that would affect the magnetic field? And me being the genius that I am just said, I don't know. That was the extent of my answer. I drew a blank. And his answer was HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. Now, this program has been run by our government from Alaska. There's, I believe, 48 very, very tall towers that what we're being told is that it's an ionospheric research program, that the government is running this program for, quote-unquote, research, because our government does that all the time. Now, many people believe that it has more devious designs. Those designs range from weather modification to mind control and every other evil, nefarious thing in between. I mean, they're talking chemtrails. They say chemtrails started when HARP became very active. And what these chemtrails are is they're a grid system. They tell the operators of HARP where to direct their beam, essentially. Supposedly, this program was shut down 5 years due to a lack of funding and handed over to the University of Alaska. Now, last week, though, according to my source, and it makes complete sense, it was in our government's hands again and fired back up. Now, I'm going to ask all of my listeners, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, kind of rhetorically. Has anyone noticed strange weather? Odd temperatures, very strange storms, or even bizarre animal behaviors. I read a story in the Midwest of literally birds falling from the sky. I mean, hundreds of birds that just said, I'm done, and they fell from the sky dead. That's not normal. California, as I mentioned, was in a severe drought. Now, they have more water than they know what to do with. There's multiple dams and spillways that are about ready to overflow. They're getting severe storms that is almost like a hurricane. There is unprecedented warmth that has been occurring. But that warmth was all of a sudden followed by a severe cold front. We in Michigan here on Friday were at 67 degrees. And in the blink of an eye, dark, ominous clouds started rolling in, lightning that I've never seen before, started falling from the ground to the sky, and it dropped to about 28 degrees in the blink of an eye. Now, yes, I know it's a cold front. I'm not stupid. But this isn't normal weather for February. February, when they're talking about tornadoes in Michigan, hell, we don't get tornado warnings in Michigan. We don't get severe thunderstorm watches in May. We get them in June, July, August. In February, we should be worrying about snowstorm rather than tornadoes. But that's what it is. And again, birds are dropping from the sky. Whales and dolphins are beaching themselves all over the planet. And everybody's wondering why. And, you know, we do have the curse of Fukushima that may be part of the problem. But we also have, again, there's magnetite in these creatures' brains. And that allows them to navigate their migratory paths. And if the magnetic field changes, they don't know. Nobody said, hey, you're going to want to take a left turn at Albuquerque. They just keep going where the magnetite in their brain tells them. And they beach themselves. And nobody can figure out why. There are some people that attribute this to HAARP. Now, HAARP essentially cooks the ionosphere and manipulates the magnetic field. Now, couple this with the experiments at the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, and we may have the recipe for disaster. So, of course, as I was talking to my friend and who I call my source, I asked a question. Why? Why would you restart HAARP now? What is the point? His response was plausible, but yet also kind of terrifying. Many people believe HAARP to be a military weapon. Could it be, and this is his response, could it be that the reemergence is to ensure that it still performs as designed? In other words, are we preparing for war? Prior to any military conflict, the number of UFO sightings increases significantly. This is due to the military testing new weapons, new aircraft, and in this day and age, new drones. Now, would it surprise you to know that UFO sightings across the country are up tremendously in this year, 2017, alone? I know that we are talking good game. We are talking about how we need to have Russia as our friend. But there's more involved than just Russia. Look at the political climate of the world. We are on the cusp of another war. Are we getting ready? Are we preparing ourselves? Testing out HAARP. Testing out this military aircraft that we are now dismissing and disclassifying or not misidentifying as UFOs. I do believe we are on the cusp of a magnetic pole shift. My thoughts on that have not changed. I do believe this is mostly a natural event. There's nothing we can do to stop it. The Earth, I've said it many times, I've said it with pollution, I've said it with the fossil fuels. The Earth is resilient. She is a strong planet. However, I do believe that our government, as well as other countries, are contributing to the rapid advancement of the magnetic field's deterioration via HARP, via the Large Hadron Collider. And which this brings me to the question to the members of our governments and the scientists at CERN. Knowing that what you are doing and what you are interacting with the magnetic field, and that there has been a sharp increase in quote-unquote natural severe phenomenon, why would you continue to do so? Every time CERN is fired up, every time that collider is fired up, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, New Zealand, Indonesia, Japan, somewhere in that area, a large earthquake goes off. There's no disputing the evidence. Look for yourself. Every time they fire it, something happens. They can tell you that their large magnets will not affect the magnetic field. But that's an undeniable lie. You can't have those large magnets that are colliding nuclear in very, 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 very tiny particles. You can't have them not affect this planet's magnetic field. There is a movie that was made in, I think it was the 90s, called The Core. And it's very foretelling. It's about a group of scientists running essentially the same thing as the Large Hadron Collider. And when they fire it, it eventually stops the rotation of the Earth's core, causing the Earth to be on the verge of destruction. Is this what's happening? Are we affecting the Earth's core? And that is speeding up the process of the magnetic field reversing. Are we taking a natural phenomenon due to our pompousness that we can control everything? It doesn't matter if we stop the Earth's rotation or the Earth's core's rotation, we can start it back up again. Do we really think like that? I have asked the members of CERN this question. I have emailed them and said, look, I'm a concerned citizen of this planet. I want to know why you continue to put every one of us in danger with a scientific experiment that you know nothing about. You have no idea how this is going to turn out. I've emailed CERN this, and surprise, I got no answer. The magnetic field, in my opinion, again, it hasn't changed, is about ready to flip. Is this going to be a extinction level event? No. Nope, not at all. But for some, they might as well wish they were dead because they're not going to have their phones. They're not going to have their tablets. They're not going to have their computers. Because the magnetic field flipping is going to render our electronics, it's almost like getting an EMP attack on this country, but it's going to be planet-wide. It's going to render the whole planet back to the Stone Age, essentially. Back to before electricity. Some people say that's a good thing. I might be one of them. It might take us to realize that we're all in this together. Everything we do affects everybody else on this country or on this planet. I'm not saying that I want a pole shift to happen because I think it's going to be detrimental. There's a lot of people. There's going to be riots. There's going to be social anarchy. There's going to be a social breakdown unprecedented, and it's going to happen all across the world, mostly in the first world countries, Canada, the U.S., England, France, Germany, because these are the highly developed countries. The third world countries, which are not as highly developed, that don't rely on their electronics to get them through the day, are going to be more adept at surviving this calamity. It's coming. There's no doubt about it. It is a natural occurrence. We're long overdue for a pole shift. The poles are shifting. Keep in mind that the pole is moving hundreds and hundreds of miles every year. And it's just going to get past that tipping point, and vloop, we're going to see a flipped pole. So you may be going, it could happen when I'm flying to Costa Rica. They're looking at the compass going, all righty, we're going south. And they're going north. I may end up in Greenland. I don't know. But it's going to render your GPS. You're going to drive off a cliff. You're going to drive into a river. It's going to render everything inoperable. And it's up to us to be ready for it. You've got to stock up on food. You've got to stock up on items to protect you and your family. Because it's going to get ugly out there. It's just my belief. So let me know what you think. Do you think that we are in the midst of a pole shift? Do your own research. Again, I preach to my listeners how much I despise the liberals because all they do is they read the headlines and that's it. Don't be like them. You may listen to me, but do your own research. Come to your own conclusion and let me know what your thoughts are on it. The more you know, the better prepared you will be. Now, before I end the show, I feel I have to talk to you about a UFO sighting that was recently detailed to me. This sighting was very local to me. But on top of the UFO sighting, it may have had an entity sighting as well. Now, this was not a UFO report submitted to PRISM. A quick note on PRISM. I mentioned it a while back, and I've confirmed it. I've literally dissolved PRISM to the point that we are no longer doing any investigations. I simply have no time. I had a number of investigators willing to jump on board. I couldn't do it. This was a family, my own baby. And I didn't want to hand off the PRISM name, which was well respected in this area, to anybody. And that is not a knock, no disrespect towards anyone that was wanting to investigate. But I just didn't feel comfortable handing it over because nobody has the vision in what I want done like I do. So we are now a first contact for people who have had paranormal or supernatural experience. We determine if the encounter is worthy of an investigation, then we contact a reputable local group to conduct the investigation. I have networked through to countless groups in the state of Michigan as well as the Midwestern region, and I am contacted with them all the time. I keep in contact with them, and if I have something come up in their area, I let them know. And I'm kind of like an outsourcing utility right now. But PRISM, as it stands, is not investigating. There may be a day coming, who knows when. There may be a day when it gets back into it, but right now I want to focus on the show. I've got other side projects I'm in the process of doing. I just don't have time to do full-time PRISM. I will do investigations every now and then, but those are very, very special cases. This case, however, was different. I have known this couple for over 10 years. I met them through where I work now. And if they were not my first customer I dealt with, they were within the first five. Over the years, they come to me, they've trusted me, and they've just literally become almost part of my family. They are in their late 50s. They are very sincere, and they are very down to earth. They came to me this past week, and honestly, they looked rather shaken. They came up to me, and the first thing I said is, "Is everything okay?" And they started to relate their story to me. They pulled me to the side and they said, "Tom, we know we've talked many times about your show." They said they never believed in UFOs, but they had an encounter that prompted them to contact me due to what they call its bizarre nature. Now, this couple, who I will not reveal their names or identity, hails from the small town of Lanesburg, Michigan. Now, that is just north of Lansing, just south of where I live in Owosso. They live on a plot of land that has 7 acres, 5 of which the mister of the family keeps very, very well groomed. I've been to the property. It is beautiful. There are 2 remaining acres that are completely wooded. Now, on the night of February 18th, it was cool at night, but very, very unseasonably warm. The couple left their bedroom windows open, but they closed the curtains. Now, at approximately 1:30 in the morning, the husband arose to use the restroom. As he walked past the bedroom windows, a light wind moved past the curtains just enough to reveal the view outside. When the curtains moved to reveal the view outside, he noticed a glimpse of a blinking red and blue light along the wood line of his property. He stopped and pushed the curtains aside. His eyes could not decipher what emanated from the light, so he grabbed a set of binoculars he keeps on his nightstand to view, as he said, the wildlife. In his words, not mine, what he saw took him aback. He was startled to the point that he almost dropped his binoculars. What he saw was a metallic saucer-shaped craft hovering slightly off the ground. It had a slight bluish glow to it, and he heard no sound emanating from it, although it was a ways down the property line, but he did not hear anything. He sat staring at it through the binoculars, trying to determine what it was he was seeing. He didn't want to look away, so he began to try and wake his wife. Now, he used the word loud whispers. He kept calling her name in loud whispers, but they weren't doing the trick. It wasn't waking his wife up. He mentioned that he was afraid to yell out her name, and he didn't know why. He felt if he yelled out his name, it might attract attention, or yelled out her name, it might attract attention to him. So he reluctantly put down the binoculars and walked over to his wife and gently rose her from her sleep. He informed her that he wanted her to see something. Now, after quite a bit of hoaxing, he eventually persuaded her to rise out of bed and try to determine what it was that he was seeing. He needed a second opinion on this. Now, it was at this point, as they were talking to me, that she stepped in and started relating her side of the story. So she stated that while she was still half asleep, she walked over to the window and looked out, and she saw the same red and blue blinking lights. Now, her first thought was, what are the police doing out there along the edge of our wood line? So her husband handed her the binoculars and heard him whisper, "Tell me what you think that is." She put the binoculars to her eyes, and as her husband stated, she audibly gasped. She explained seeing the exact same craft as described by her husband, with one significant addition. As she was looking at this craft, the bluish glow along the wood line revealed a small, as she said, childlike being with large head and a large set of black eyes. She stated that she used words that she was not proud of and informed her husband of the being. Her husband then grabbed the binoculars and looked to confirm. He stated that he saw the being also. It was walking toward the right side of the craft. He described it the exact same way. It was short, thin, with a large head, and he could see through the binocular 2 large black eyes. And I said, "You just described what they call the grays." And both of them said, "I don't know what it was, but it terrified me." Each one of them said it terrified them. So as this being was standing on the right side of the craft, as this husband was looking through the binoculars, he saw a blinding, bright blue light that obscured everything in his field of view. It emanated from the right side of the craft. Now, after the light dissipated, the being was gone. At that point, the craft slowly began to rise, again with no sound emanating from it. When it reached the top of the trees, it slowly began to fly away from the couple. It eventually moved out of sight, The couple said they did not return to sleep that night and have mostly been napping during the day and staying awake at night for fear that this craft and being may return. Now, this couple contacted me on Monday. I was able to go to the location of the sighting on Tuesday. Now, again, it was unseasonably warm during that week, especially over the weekend, and the ground was very wet. I remember walking out there, and I could literally see water rising up where I was walking. It was wet, and in some spots, it was muddy. However, where they said that craft was hovering, it was a completely different story. In a somewhat of a circular pattern, the ground was dry. And when I say dry, it's dry to the point that it's mid-July and we haven't had rain for a month and the ground has been baked and it's cracked and it's hard. So all around this, you have wet, muddy, moisture-filled water until you get to this one spot on their property where it looks like there is nothing. There's no water been there all year. It looks like midsummer. The grass was already dormant. It was hibernating, for lack of a better term. So I couldn't say there was green grass and then there was dead grass there because the grass was dead all around. But you look at the ground, I walk up there, and the ground is wet. I get to this spot where they say the craft was. The ground is completely dry and cracked. I couldn't see any footprints. There's no landing gear prints. But something, listen, you have to know these people. And I do know these people. These people are, for lack of a better term, down to earth. We've talked about the show. His wife likes to talk to me about the show. They are they're immigrants from Germany. So she talks to me about the refugee crisis all the time. But in the past, I know they've stated to me that we listen to your show, but we don't listen to the paranormal side of things. We just listen to the political side just to see where you stand and how much we agree with you. So when these guys came to me and they stated that they had an encounter that they couldn't understand and couldn't comprehend, I knew something was up because these people are good people. They're honest people. I've dealt with many people that I'm talking to them and I'm like, you're lying through your teeth. I can't say this about them. I honestly believe that they saw something and they have the physical proof in the form of that dry patch that I think proves that something happened there. The grass isn't burned away. The grass looks just like any other parcel of grass on their property right now. But you're walking up to it and you're slopping through the mud and you're slopping through the water. And it's like you step on a concrete slab. And that's right exactly where they said that craft was. To me, I think they had an actual sighting of a craft in a gray. So if you listen in this area and you saw something, let me know. I want to corroborate this a little bit more. This is one of those that Prism, myself, and that's what Prism is now. It's just going to be me. I've literally dissolved Prism, and it's just people calling me saying, hey, this is what I've got. And I say, okay, I think you've got a legitimate concern. Let me contact an organization close to you that can investigate it. I'm essentially the middleman. But this is one that I wanted to help them, and I felt it was my obligation to help them because they came to me. They drove from another city to see me for this specific reason. This couple can't sleep during the night. They sleep during the day for fear that this craft will return. They're thinking of putting their house up for sale. I can't let that happen. I told them, look, most of the time, it's a one and off. They were there looking for something. They either found it or they didn't, and they're gone. It's not going to happen again. I'm trying to reassure them. Whether or not it works, I don't know. So, Anyway, so that'll be the show for today. Again, thank you to Richard Knox for everything he has done for the show. Again, Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group, contact them if you have had any unexplained phenomenon you can't explain. Contact them. They'll help you out. Andy in England, again, I received a very nice thank you email from him today, thanking him for the kind words. Honestly, Andy, the words need to be towards you. Thank you for enlightening me to what is actually going on the immigration front. Andy in Texas, hope you're doing well. You contacted me recently. Danielle, everybody that listens to the show that I contact, Chris, Brandon, everybody, thank you so much for everything you do. I know I miss people. Pat, everybody, thank you. I just can't say thank you enough for everything you have done. Keep up the good work. Keep spreading the word. Keep sharing the show. We are going to explode pretty soon. I've got great things planned. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.